your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Got your boy Q here with you, and very excited about today's episode. Hell, excited about every day this week because, well, the Raiders coming off that victory on Monday night over the New Orleans Saints, 34-24. Man, it's really kind of turned everything upside down, and my world's been crazy since they got the victory, and I'll tell you what that means in just a few minutes. Before I even get into today's episode, I want to tell you about NFL Game Pass. They're bringing you the Locked On Raiders podcast today and this season. Get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. So shout out to them one time. And I said that before I gave you that little sponsorship right there from NFL Game Pass, told you that it's been a crazy week and that, like, after the Raiders picked up that victory over the Saints, it's almost like my world, it's like my phone number all of a sudden became public to everybody. And I'm telling you, my phone has been ringing off the hook. My text messages have been blowing up. And I don't mean on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I mean different radio stations requesting me to come on and interview and talk about the Raiders. And it's crazy, man. Just on Tuesday alone, I did an interview with ESPN Las Vegas with Cofield and Company. I do that interview every single week. Originally, it started out on Thursdays, but somehow it morphed into Tuesdays. So now I'm on there every Tuesday. So, okay, that makes sense because I do it every Tuesday. Then later on Tuesday afternoon, I got a text message from my guy CGP, Christopher Gabriel, at 940 ESPN in Fresno. He wanted me to come on, so I did an interview with him on Tuesday. And then a radio station in Wyoming wanted me to come on and do a hit with them talking Raiders as well, but I couldn't do it because it's from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, and I'm on the radio on Raider Nation Radio 920 in Vegas at that same time. It's 2 to 4 West Coast time, but Central Time it's 4 to 6, so I couldn't do that one, and I tried my damnedest. I'm telling you, I tried everything I could to squeeze it into my schedule. I was like, well, you want to record it early? You want to do it a little late and play it the next day? And he said, well, we don't have no way of recording because something in our studio is not working. I thought, wow, that's all bad. That's on you. I mean, you know, you've got to have a way to record your interviews just in case. Sometimes a person's schedule just doesn't fit. But I had a request from Wyoming to be on their radio station. Coming up on Thursday, I got this request early on Tuesday as well, but it's for Thursday, is to talk Raiders in Utah. So now I'm going to be on the radio in Utah on Thursday, which is unbelievable. I've never been on the radio in Utah. And this is just, I mean, it's one after the other, and it's unbelievable. And really, to take it even further back, man, when the season started, when the Raiders were taking on the Carolina Panthers, my guy Mark Seidel, who used to be the program director at ESPN Las Vegas, he actually hit me up and was like, Q, you want to be on the radio in Charlotte? We want you to come on and talk about the Raiders and also talk about Matt Rhule. And I was like, yeah, done deal. So I was on in Charlotte. Never been on in Charlotte. And then before the Saints game, I was on in New Orleans talking Raiders. And so it's like in the last like week, Raider Nation, or week and a half, it's been Charlotte, New Orleans, Vegas, Fresno, Utah, I mean, Wyoming. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got the hottest phone number in town. I mean, I ought to start charging for these kind of things, you know? But no, it's been a blessing, man. It really is. And that just lets you know how well the Raiders are doing when all these different radio stations and all these different personalities who could really reach out to anybody decide that they want to reach out to me and get me on their radio show. So it's been a lot of fun. So coming up on today's show, in segment number three, I got your calls. I got your text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Also, got a tweet, a direct message that I want to relay. That's going to come up in segment number three as well. If you want to send me a tweet, send me a direct message and just get your message onto the show that way, at your boy Q254, you could definitely do that. Matter of fact, Mike DeBate just hit me up from Locked On Patriots, and he said, hey Q, hope all is well, my friend. Just checking in to see what time might work for our crossover to record. So that's coming up on this week's episode, as the Patriots are next up on the schedule for the Raiders, but that's for another day, so I'll hit him back in a little while. while. But yeah, man, it's funny. So many things have been going on, and I love every minute of it. So segment number three, calls, text, and a tweet straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Segment number two, I'm actually going to bring you that Cofield and Company interview that I did on Tuesday. Thought it was a really good interview. We talked about the game Monday night, talked about Derek Carr, talked about the defense, talked about the upcoming game against the Panthers, talked about Aqib Talib and actually what Bill Belichick wanted Aqib Talib to do and how he said no. Really good story that Cofield tells. I think it was a really good interview, so I'm bringing that to you in segment number two. And then here in segment number one, I'm going to hit you with the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. So first and foremost, let me go ahead and give you a little bit of roster update that came down Tuesday afternoon. UNLV undrafted free agent linebacker Javon White, he was put up on the active roster on Monday. He actually participated in the game a little bit. He was in on special teams, and he was also in on a couple defensive plays. He was reverted to the practice squad on Tuesday afternoon. So he's no longer on the active roster, back to the practice squad, and that's not a surprise. And that means a couple things. Either Nick Kwiatkowski is getting close to returning, which would be great for the Raiders because they really need to get him back, or because the offensive line has some extra injuries, they're actually bringing up another offensive lineman off the practice squad and had to put Javon White back onto the practice squad. But either way, his rookie year, you're going to expect him to go up and down from the practice squad to the active roster, to the practice squad, back to the active roster. That's just how it's going to be. That's the times of tough times for an undrafted free agent in 2020's NFL. But either way, Javon White is still on the Raiders practice squad. He's just not on the active roster. Also, some news that rolled out on a Tuesday afternoon has to do with coaches and not wearing masks on the sidelines, something that I paid attention to in a major way on a Monday night when I saw the Raiders and Saints out there and Gruden and Sean Payton, and neither one of those guys looked very interested in having their mask on. Well, it came down Tuesday afternoon. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network tweeted out, the NFL is fining Saints and Raiders $250,000 each and coaches Sean Payton and John Gruden $100,000 each for failing to properly wear face coverings in the bench area Monday night. Which brings the total of $1.75 million in total fines for violations in the week. And, I mean, you can think what you want to think. I feel like seeing coaches with masks on the sideline after every single player and every single coach has been tested for COVID-19 and nobody has it. They all have tested negative. That's why they're in the game. And there's no fans in the stands. I don't really think that it's a big deal if they wear a mask. I don't think it's $250,000 worth of a fine, and sure, not $100,000 to the coach, but John Gruden mentioned it after the game that, you know, if he had to pay the fine, he'd pay the fine, not a big deal. He also did reveal, and I didn't talk about this on Tuesday's show, but he actually revealed that he had COVID-19 early in July when it came out that he had pranked the team and said that he had it just so they can know that it's a real deal. Well, he really did have it in July. He actually confirmed that with Jerry McDonald, and so I thought that that was kind of noticeable, but that was something I didn't even bring up on Tuesday because I was more excited about the victory. But yeah, obviously the NFL is taking it really seriously as far as window dressing and what it looks like, the optics. You know, I like to call it the dog and pony show. They want to show the world that they care and want everyone to wear masks, even though, like I said, everyone's in a stadium. Everyone has been tested. Everyone has been negative. Oh, by the way, you got all these players out there piling up on each other, bleeding on each other, sweating on each other, spitting on each other, clawing, scratching, doing everything they can. And they ain't got no mask on while they're in the game, and that's okay. But, you know, it is what it is. So they're going to get those fines, $250,000 and $100,000 for John Gruden and Sean Payton as well. Now, this is something I found to be pretty interesting. Everyone always talks about the national media, always talks about ESPN. And, you know, I always say that I have a lot of respect for ESPN, and I know a lot of people don't, and that's okay. But everyone, I just think it's hard to clump everyone in the same pile all the time. So Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, that's the new morning show on ESPN Radio, replacing Golic and Wingo, which replaced Mike and Mike. And I like the show. I like the show a lot. I think Keyshawn Johnson brings a lot to the table. J. Will's okay, and Zubin's just okay. But I think Keyshawn Johnson is a dude. I mean, a real deal dude. So he was on there on Tuesday morning following the game, and he had done his six-pack, and he had actually put power rankings, put the Raiders at number six in his six-pack, you know, which was great. That's a nice recognition. But then they also did a segment called Real or Not, and they had Jeff Saturday, former Pro Bowl center of the Indianapolis Colts. He was on. Is it Colts or Packers, or was it both? I think it was both. Either way, Jeff Saturday was on, and he was asked straight up, too, do you think the Raiders are real, or is it just a 2-0 start for a team that's just ho-hum? So here's Jeff Saturday talking about if the Raiders are real or not.
I think they are for real. And this is why I would say that. First of all, Derek Carr gets beat up every season. The guy threw for 4,000 yards the last 2 years. I've kind of been a Derek Carr apologist the last couple of years. But as you look at what they're doing, they have a balanced offense. What you've seen from John Gruden is their rush to run ratio, I mean, their rush to pass ratio is almost identical, right? I mean, and so you see a guy who's in rhythm. You see a tight end being used in that West Coast offense, which you know they're going to do. And you see Josh Jacobs, who has a nasty disposition when he runs. I mean, this guy gets behind his pads. They had three offensive linemen hurt, iffy, all those kind of things. Didn't matter. Josh Jacobs continues to run behind his pads. That's the catalyst for this offense because you know it opens everything else up for these guys. And Waller had a big game, but it wasn't like they were explosive. They were just chain-moving drives. I thought Derek Carr played really well last night. Didn't start good, but as the game went on, you saw the progression for him. Hats off to he and Gruden, man. No one expected them to beat the Saints last night, and they put on a display.
So there's Jeff Saturday right there on ESPN. He was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the morning show talking about if he thought the Raiders were real or not. And I thought that that was really high praise right there for John Gruden's offense, for Derek Carr. He was really broke down what Derek Carr does really well and how he's really had his back. Respects the run game of the Raiders and, of course, the tight end play of the Raiders as well. Just likes what he sees and thinks that they are a real team. And I always say don't overreact to, you know, a couple games here, a couple games there. But it's kind of nice to hear when you turn on the radio in the morning and you're riding to work and you hear, you know, Jeff Saturday, former All-Pro NFL player, saying, you know what, that team is for real. And Keyshawn Johnson doubled down on it. Like I said, he had the Raiders in his top six, so I thought that was pretty cool. And also, my final little soundbite here for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, Keyshawn Johnson actually tried to explain where the tired narrative came from John Gruden not liking Derek Carr, how I really went into a kind of a rant on Tuesday saying that should be done and over with. If John Gruden didn't like Derek Carr, he would have already moved on from him. And so he was asked, like, well, where did it come from to begin with, Key? And look, Keyshawn Johnson ain't always had the best relationship with John Gruden. If you go back and do your history and do your homework, you'd know that as a matter of fact. But here's Keyshawn Johnson talking about that whole narrative, how he got floated out there and how some people in the media ran with it and continue to run with it to this day.
Everything was methodical with Derek Carr leading the charge. And when you look at Derek Carr at the quarterback spot, there was a lot of questions on what he was in John Gruden's system. Two straight years over 4,000 yards in the air, 3 years removed from possibly being an MVP candidate when he hurt his back. The Raiders were in the playoffs. They go down to Houston. They lose to the Texans. And then everybody's like, Derek Carr can't play anymore. Next year, Jack Del Rio out. Coach John Gruden in. He gives this narrative to the world that Derek Carr is not worthy of being the starting quarterback for the Raiders. And everybody kind of ran with it. He never said it. He just kind of dangled it out in front of U-type media people, Zubin.
U-type.
And everybody kind of, no, and everybody ran with it, right? They all just jumped on it and said, oh, Derek Carr, oh, John Gruden doesn't like Derek Carr. Because John made some comments along the way, and it made it seem as though Derek Carr wasn't worthy of being the Raiders quarterback.
But like Keyshawn Johnson said, he never said he wasn't his quarterback. Matter of fact, multiple times he insisted that he is his quarterback, regardless what anyone thought, regardless what I think, whatever you think, whatever anyone thinks. John Gruden has been steadfast on the notion that Derek Carr is his guy. Mike Mayock has said that they have a really good quarterback. Will they always try to improve their position? Absolutely. Did they talk about Tom Brady and even think about going after Tom Brady? Absolutely. But they've always going to address it, but they've always come back to Derek Carr. And if they didn't like him, they would have moved on from him. Something I said very emphatically on Tuesday. But it was kind of cool right there to hear Keyshawn Johnson try to explain. And again, a guy that has had his own beef with John Gruden, so he knows what's going on. And it was just, like I said, it was cool to hear him talk about that. And that's really all I got for you. I had one note on Monday Night Football, but I don't really want to go too lengthy because it's going to, well, you know what? Let me just go ahead and do it since I already started to preview it. The viewership on Monday Night Football per ESPN's PR, Monday Night Football's second highest viewership in the past 24 games. They said ESPN's Monday Night Football megacast featuring the Saints and Raiders delivered an average audience of 15,590,000 viewers, a 31% year-over-year viewership increase. The viewership for Las Vegas inaugural NFL game, which includes the audience across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN Deportes, is Monday Night Football's best in eight games dating back to November 2019, Seattle at San Francisco, and the franchise's second best in 24 games. games. November 28th, Kansas City at the Rams. Vegas scored its highest local rating for a Monday night football game in a decade, delivering a 22.1 local rating. Of the 44 markets available, Las Vegas was easily the highest, followed by San Francisco 16.2 and San Diego 15.6. Note, only 44 individual markets are currently available, with 12 additional markets, including New Orleans, coming in the next 24 hours. So hats off to you, Las Vegas. Hats off to you, Raider Nation, for tuning in everywhere and watching that Monday night football game between the Raiders and the Saints. So that's officially all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, my conversation from Tuesday with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from each and every game, each and every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, and it's all in one place. NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players. With over 40 NFL Game Pass film sessions available, you can go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Guys like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, who the Raiders will see up close and personal next week, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. All you got to do to get it is go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Your boy Q here with you as always. You know, you can hit me up on Twitter if you ever have a comment, concern, something that's on your mind. You can do so at your boy Q254. And of course, the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line 707-654-4693. Those calls and texts and tweets are coming up in the next segment. But right now, I want to get into a conversation that I had with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas immediately after I got off for Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday afternoon. It was really cool. Just kind of went from one station to the next and talked all things Raiders, talked about the win on Monday night against the Saints, talked about the upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers. Cofield brought up Aqib Talib, and that was funny to hear a story that he had to say about that. So here was a really good conversation. At least I think it was a really good conversation talking all things Raiders with Cofield and Company from ESPN Las Vegas on Tuesday afternoon.
Q Myers covers the Raiders in and out every day of the week, those 5 days a week on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. What's up, Q?
Hey, man, how are you guys doing? It's always good to be on with you guys. And before we even get started, man, just want to shout out to Mark Seidel, man. I know you guys had a lot to say about him and gave him a tribute show, and he was a real good friend. And I know you guys knew him really, really well. Just crushing news when I found out that Mark had passed. So I want to shout out Mark Seidel before we even got started.
That's nice, man. Appreciate that. Q Myers with us, Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. Let's talk about Darren Waller. What was he doing that was so effective? What was Carr doing that was so effective to the point where the Saints just could not cover the guy?
Well, that was just it, man. John Gruden did a really good job of dialing up the good matchups for Darren Waller, because this dude is a wide receiver in a tight end's body. Derek Carr and John Gruden, they both said it after the game. He's one of the best in the business. Kittle's obviously up there. Kelsey's obviously up there. But Darren Waller's right up there as well. I mean, he can get it done. And so if you got him mismatched against Malcolm Jenkins, who's a safety who's getting older, really good player, but that guy just can't compete, you know. And there's multiple guys on that Saints defense that realized that they were out of position when Darren Waller was lined up across from him. And so John Gruden looked and sought out that mismatch, and as soon as he saw it, he exploited it. And you got to give credit to the Raiders to continue to go to the well. I mean, if they're not going to stop it, why stop going to it? Keep on going until they actually stop doing what they do.
You know, 99% of the time we talk about Darren Waller and his pass-catching ability, but it is a responsibility of a tight end, you know, to block. They are part of the offensive line. Let's talk O-line with Q Myers. One, Incognito goes down. That's freaking scary. We have any sort of update on his Achilles?
Well, no, but it's been something that they've been monitoring ever since training camp. You know, he'd go out of camp for a while and rest on Veterans Day because he had the Achilles injury, and that was scary. When he went down, I thought, oh man, you're already down with Trent Brown. Now you got Richie Incognito down, but lo and behold, here comes this rookie out of Clemson, fourth rounder, John Simpson, and you got to give Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, I've dogged him multiple times for what he did when he made a return to the Raiders and even his time in Seattle. But man, he had those guys ready to go and had them prepared, you know, for that situation. So when their time was called and their number was called, they'd be ready. So hopefully Incognito's ready to return next week against New England in New England. But if not, at least you can feel pretty confident that John Simpson's been, he's been thrown into the deep end, and he all, instead of sinking, he swam. So that's positivity moving forward for that Raiders O-line.
Q, it seemed like the Saints defense responded to seeing two linemen down, of course, Trent Brown being out for the Raiders as well, and decided to bring the pressure. They blitzed Derek Carr on 16 dropbacks, but Derek Carr was 12 of 15 on those dropbacks, 8.5 yards per attempt. A combination of he and Gruden being able to get the ball out of his hands quickly seemed to work pretty well last night.
Yeah, it really did. And that's something that Derek Carr's been very good at doing, getting that ball out of his hand as quick as possible. He's one of the fastest release quarterbacks in the league, just over 2 seconds that it takes him to get the ball out of his hand. And when he got those dogs coming and he knows that the offensive line is a little bit wounded, he knows that, hey, I got to hit my hot route, I got to hit my tight end, I got to hit my running backs, I got to hit whoever I can as quickly as possible. And he was able to do that. And to Carr's credit, it's something that I've criticized him about a lot over the past year and a half, 2 years, ever since 2016, ever since he got injured, really, is the fact that he doesn't move the pocket. He doesn't use his legs to, you know, give his wide receivers an opportunity to make a play a little bit farther down the field. He was able to do that just a little bit, scramble a little, and get out of the pocket just a little, just enough to say, okay, this guy is trying to do something with his legs. He's never going to be the fleet-footed. He's never going to run around the yard and get and be the leading rusher. But just giving his team a little bit of an opportunity and showing that want to went a long way as far as I was concerned watching that game last night.
Q, I wanted to get your opinion on Derek Carr and the disrespect stuff, because the Monday Night Football crew was all over it.
Yeah.
Carr after the game last night said, I love it here. You know, I don't want to play for anyone else other than the Raiders. Actually, he said, I will not play for anyone else other than the Raiders, which we'll see what happens down the road. You follow, let's not talk media. You follow Raider Nation and you follow them where they're especially vocal on social media. Has he gotten a raw deal from a large part of Raider Nation? Is that part of the disrespect?
That's part of the disrespect, but it was so funny because when he said that, and it was brought up so much, almost to the point where I was like, okay, can we find another narrative to talk about throughout the game? But when he was talking about that, guys, he was talking about not just him, but Darren Waller, also Rodney Hudson, also Trent Brown, also that offensive line. You know, they had just had the NFL Top 100 list come out, and all these guys, Max Crosby, who had 10 sacks his rookie year, you know, he's not on the list. All these guys that were just getting overlooked by the national media, who even to this day, if you listen to a lot of Raider Nation, are upset because the narrative is, well, the Saints are old, Drew Brees is old, they were out without Michael Thomas. It's not, hey, the Raiders just played a better game. Hey, the Raiders just, you know, had a better game plan once they made some adjustments. So that's the kind of disrespect that he's actually talking about. It's not necessarily 100% on him. There's a lot of Raider Nation that is going to discredit him and talk bad about him because of one reason or the other. You know, he doesn't stretch the ball down the field enough, doesn't run enough. I mean, there's always room for criticism, but when he was particularly talking about that, and that's something that Lewis Riddick and company never really brought up, was the fact that he was talking about the whole team, not just himself.
Q Myers is with us. You can hear him every day at 2 o'clock at Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. Renfro, solid game last night, 3 catches, 37 yards. Every Tuesday, right? Every Tuesday, and I guess Mondays after games, you're going to talk to Hunter Renfro. What did he have to say?
Yeah, it's great. 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro. We talked to him today. And, you know, one of the main things I asked him about was about Jalen Richard dropping the ball on the ground, fumbling it, and then Coach Gruden having the confidence to go back to him, call the exact same play, and Jalen Richard had the confidence and just kind of forgot that bad play and took it to the house, you know, and that was a big-time touchdown right there. And he said, look, everyone in that locker room believes in each other. They all know that they've been handpicked and they're here by John Gruden, is his choice. It's not like anyone is there because they have to be. If Gruden didn't want you, he'd get rid of you. So they believed in all those guys in the locker room. They believed in Jalen Richard, and they said once he got back out there, they knew he was going to make a play. And, he did. He turned a nice play into a touchdown, an even better play. So that was one of the main things. But he was just excited about the overall win and that the team is continuing to develop moving forward, and a lot of guys are stepping up. Of course, he mentioned Darren Waller, how big of a game. And he also said one other thing real quick is that those workouts that he had at the parks there Darren Henderson during the offseason when there was a crazy offseason. He said that those helped out in such a major way that you could see these guys all getting on the same page and getting that continuity with each other, where I really kind of downplayed it and thought it wasn't that big of a deal. Thought that every team pretty much does that, have a group of guys that goes out and throws the ball around. Derek Carr did it with Antonio Brown last year. We saw how that worked out. But this time, this media set or this session at the parks really was big for the Raiders, the players, and Derek Carr as well.
Yeah, Q, I thought the pass to Zay Jones for the touchdown might be the best pass Derek Carr's thrown in a couple of years. That was a gorgeous ball.
Yep.
Great reception. Really helped the Raiders at a spot where they needed it. So, talked a lot about the offense. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. Early on, it looked like Drew Brees and the Saints were going to hang 50 on the Raiders. But they made some adjustments.
Yeah.
They slowed them down. What did you like about what you saw out of the Raiders' defense yesterday?
I just like what you said, that they made some adjustments and they found a way to get off the field just a few times. They're not going to be mistaken for the 85 Bears anytime soon. I thought, like you guys, and I thought like everybody else, once the game started, the Raiders were going to, you know, give up 50 points easily just because the Saints were just slicing through them like a hot butter knife through butter, you know, hot knife through butter. It was ridiculous. But to Paul Gunther's credit and those players' credit, they were able to step up, make some plays. I love what Jonathan Abram brings. I love the energy he brings to the table and that he's a missile flying around the field. Was really concerned when he ran into that TV cart. I thought, oh man, is this dude getting up? And of course, that's his same shoulder that he hurt last year, his rookie year, so he's still getting an MRI. The first x-rays came back negative, but he's still getting an MRI to make sure that he didn't have any further damage. I really appreciated his play. And the one thing that I'd like to point out to you guys the most is Damon Arnette, the rookie out of Ohio State, number 19 overall. This guy gets benched in the first quarter because he wasn't playing very well. He was getting beat, just didn't look like he was all in sync, and he was lost out there. Instead of going to the bench like you see a lot of these guys and pouting and throwing their helmets and throwing a fit and acting like you can't bench me, I'm a first round draft pick, he stood side by side with Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, with his helmet ready, observing everything on the field while Nevin Lawson was out there, and was ready to get back into action the minute his number was called, and went out there and played a pretty good game afterwards. Is he perfect? No. He's got a lot of room to learn, but I could just see that eagerness in him to get out there and show the coach, like, hey, I made a mistake, but I'll make up for it. And instead of having a bad attitude, he waited till his number was called again and got back out there. So I think the Raiders got a good one. He's got a lot to learn, but I think they got a good one.
Q Myers is with us. Let's talk about a couple of Gruden decisions in the game and then after the game. One, the field goal attempt at the end to seal the victory. A lot of people before that were like, what are you doing? You may miss it and give Drew Brees some time and really good field goal position. Field position. What do you think of the decision to kick the field goal?
I was the same guy yelling the same thing, Steve. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, no. Everyone's texting me like, would you do this right now? And I was like, nope, nope, nope. And you guys know the saying, man, scared money don't make money. I am the definition of scared money. I would not have done that. I would have punted, and I would have tried to tell my defense I need one stop. All I need is one stop. They have no timeouts. Keep them in bounds. Do what you got to do. But, man, if they had missed that field goal, that's great field position, and they had just gone down the field and scored so quick and so easy, I was like, oh, this is a bound for disaster, and then Gruden's going to get roasted in the media tomorrow. But to Carlson's credit, he, for the second week in a row, hits a 54-yarder, his career long. Man, that was big stones is like how I like to call that one. Gruden's in Vegas, and he rolled the dice.
Q, are they walking into a buzzsaw this week in New England, or they have a real shot to win this game?
I think that they have a shot to win the game. It's going to be tough. Cam's playing really well. To my surprise, I didn't think Cam was going to be this great, but he's playing well. Josh McDaniels is setting him up well. Bill Belichick's going to take away the best option that the Raiders have, so obviously he's going to focus on Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs, but I think with all the offensive weapons, they have a chance. Now, their defense needs to step up, and, well, it's a work in progress. We saw what it did Monday night, but just with the ability to score, I think they have a puncher's chance. That's all you could really ask is just to be in the ring and be in the arena and have yourself a chance at the end. I think they have a chance, but it's going to be tough on the road in New England with Bill Belichick and now Cam Newton, who's looking really good.
The Waller topic, the matchup's going to be interesting, and keep this in mind, a nugget from about 10 days ago. Aqib Talib turned down the Patriots. He had one of the great retirement speeches, explanations you're ever going to see. He mentioned that Belichick wanted to bring him in to be the tight end stopper.
Right.
And Aqib Talib started looking around. He named all the guys, and he's like, yeah, I'm not down with that ass. Like, I'm out of here. I'm done. So Belichick told you a couple of weeks ago what he thought about his tight end stoppers. So there might be some openings for a big game from Darren Waller.
There really could be. I'm expecting, and just to be 100% honest with you guys, I'm expecting to see Stephon Gilmore all over him. I really do. I expect them to put their best guy on the Raiders' best guy and say, hey, if you still beat us with this guy, cool. But I think you're going to see a lot of focus on slowing down Waller, which should open things up. If you saw what the Seahawks did to the Panthers or the Patriots the other night, they were able to run the ball. They had a good job running the ball. This might be a big game for Josh Jacobs, especially if they just focus on taking Darren Waller away. But there's other guys, too. You know, Zay Jones has stepped up. Nelson Aguilar stepped up 2 weeks in a row. Foster Moreau. I mean, there's weapons out there, so the Raiders could go ahead and make it happen, but they got to be able to spread the ball around, and if Darren Waller's not there and available, then someone else has got to step up and make a play.
Q, great job, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
There you go. Q Myers every day, 2 o'clock, along with Scott, 2 to 4 over on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m.
So there was the conversation right there with Cofield and company talking all things Raiders, Saints, Panthers, Cam Newton, you know, the defense, what Derek Carr is able to do. A lot of good stuff right there, I felt, in that conversation. And that was one of many conversations I had talking all things Raiders on Tuesday afternoon. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm never mad at that. And if you heard me at the very beginning of that interview, shout out to Mark Seidel. And actually, he's a guy that I talked about and shouted out at the very beginning of the podcast today. He was the guy who got me on the radio in Charlotte a week and a half ago, right before the Raiders played the Panthers. And he also was the former program director there at ESPN Las Vegas. He actually interviewed me there in the studio, was going to have me on the radio, and it just didn't work out. But he was a really good dude, always showed me a lot of love. Anytime I was in town, he'd hit me up and, oh yeah, come through the station or whatever. We just talked, you know, nothing ever obviously came from it, but he was always a guy who at least his phone, you know, he would answer his phone if I reached out to him or if I sent him an email. He actually passed away over the weekend. I believe it was Friday night, apparently 37 years old, of a massive heart attack. And it was just unbelievable. And Raider Nation, you know, of everything that's been going on, with 2020 with everybody, but with me as well. And all of a sudden, just to look at Twitter and see it on Monday morning, I saw that Mark Seidel had passed away. I was like, what the hell? Anyway, those guys there in ESPN Las Vegas, and in particular Lotus Broadcasting, were real shook up about that, because he was a real good dude while he was the program director there at ESPN Las Vegas. So I tell you all that, and a lot of you probably have never heard of Mark Seidel, and that's cool, but I tell you all that to say, if you have an opportunity to you know, call someone and tell them that you love them or got someone on your mind and you want to talk to them, don't put it off for tomorrow, because tomorrow might not be guaranteed for you, or tomorrow might not be guaranteed for them. So if you need to have the urge to reach out to someone and holler at them or whatever, they're on your mind pretty heavy, don't hesitate, man. Make a little bit of time. I got to tell myself that all the time as well, as I get caught up and get super busy. But you just got to do that, man, because you just never know. 2020 has been crazy, but it ain't going to end in 2020. I mean, people are going to continue to pass away. That is a surprise and a shock to everybody. So do what you got to do, Raider Nation, but take care of each other. I say it at the end of the show all the time. Love on each other and take care of yourself. But I'm telling you, man, it starts hitting close to home. You really kind of get a wake-up call. So, shout out to Mark Seidel, man. Real good dude. Rest in peace to him, and much love out to his family, because I know they're going through it again. Only 37 years old. That's crazy. Apparently, he died in his sleep, so at least it wasn't painful. But, man, that's just incredible. Coming up in segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, I got your calls, your texts, and a tweet straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Real quick, want to tell you about MyBookie. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code Locked On and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 on free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. Segment number 3 is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts and even a tweet straight out that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Going to try to get through as many as possible. Don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to go ahead and rock with you right now. So first up is a tweet from Pharaoh King. You can find him on Twitter at YoungKingKV. He said, I just want to say the little things like Arnett standing next to the coaches when he was pulled instead of sulking on the bench is huge. Forget about the fact he's an absolute dog. His issues, which are legit, will be part of the learning curve, but him being diligent, studious, and engaged after getting beat up and down the field and briefly benched can't be coached. Again, that's from Pharaoh King at YoungKingKV, and you're spot on, 100%. Those are the intangibles that you can't coach. Either you got that in you or you don't. You know, I actually talked about that on Raider Nation Radio, Silver and Black Today on Tuesday. That was my Q-tip for the day about talking about Damon Arnette and how that really impressed me that he was standing on the sidelines ready to go with helmet in hand instead of, you know, complaining and crying and whining about, you know, being pulled from the game. So, yeah, good observation right there, and I'm with you 100%. Thank you so much for that tweet. Next up is a call from Art from Orange County. He's calling in to talk about the game, talk about D.C., and what the media is talking about following the game. Here he is, Art from Orange County.
Yo, what up, Q? It's your boy Art from Orange County. Man, I couldn't call yesterday because I was so happy. But my wife was laughing at me because the first quarter I was going in on Derek Carr. My boy was happy feet, seeing ghosts. I was yelling why I haven't bought his jersey. That's exactly why. And, you know, it comes back to the topic of why we love Derek Carr and why we hate Derek Carr. Sometimes he just, I don't know, man. The boy got ghosts. You know, he just starts feeling pressure. And there was pressure, you know, but, man, it's crazy. Also, another thing is I hate how the media is just making it all about the Saints, not playing football right, like this and that. Man, the Raiders did their thing. Everyone on this podcast knows the Raiders are going to run the ball. They're going to use Darren Waller, and they're a possession team. They're a possession team. The biggest part was the interception, man, to tie up before half and know we're getting the ball back was just the cherry on top. And, you know, I was really happy with this team, man. I was pissed in the first quarter. They looked starstruck. I think Derek Carr was nervous because it was, you know, first game in the Legion Stadium, Monday Night Football, all that stuff. You know, he got a little happy. He looked uncomfortable. But he settled down and he did his thing, you know, and I couldn't be happier, man. But other than that, man, I love how he signed the stadium with the first win. That was pretty pimp right there. But, yeah, man, I hope everyone's doing well. Let's go, Raiders. Let's get this 3-0 going. Late.
There he is, Art from Orange County. Thank you for that call. And you're right. Derek Carr was looking a little off early, but he settled down and he looked good. There was a lot of attention put on the Saints. Yeah, there was, and there's still going to be a lot, you know, nationally saying, well, you know, Drew Brees is old, or the Saints did this, or the Saints didn't do that. They were without Michael Thomas. But like I tried to explain to Scott Goldbranson and anyone really else who will listen, national guys are going to look for excuses or reasons why the Raiders won. It won't be because the Raiders are good or that they just outplayed the Saints. Or like we had someone call in Raider Nation Radio, and they were like, oh, all you were talking about is the Saints defense. I don't want to hear about that anymore. No, you have to hear about it because the Saints defense is good. The only difference is the Raiders' offense was better. So that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, take the credit where it's due. If the defense is good, which the Saints have a damn good defense, and the Raiders beat them and put 34 on them, just take the credit and say, you know what? The offense was better than the defense. That's great. As a Raider fan, you just got to embrace that and accept it, man. You know, I mean, that's just what it is. You know, you can't always look for the national folks to give you praise because they're not always going to do that. It's real easy to look at a box score or look at the record over the past 20-something years and say, hell, the team's been to the playoffs one time. Since 2002, they've been to the playoffs one time. And that was 2016, and they were one and done. So it's easy for a national head to do that. They're not paying attention like we are. So instead of worrying about most of the time what the national head is talking about, just worry about what you know. That's what I love about being Raider Nation. Just ride with that chip on your shoulder. Someone actually called in and was like, Q, I don't know how long you've been a Raider fan, but you just got to understand. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I grew up in this. This is why I'm the person I am today. I got one of the biggest chips on my shoulder you'll ever find in life, not just with the Raiders. That's just who I am. That's who we are as Raider fans. Accept it, embrace it, love it. I do. That's the reason why, you know, there's a podcast. There's a reason why I got into sports radio. Because I wanted to be given an opportunity to talk about the Raiders when others weren't. Because growing up, I saw there wasn't that coverage. I saw they weren't getting that respect. They went to the Super Bowl and didn't get that respect. They were the last of the Mohicans to even get talked about on SportsCenter. The year they went to the Super Bowl, it's like, oh, and by the way, the Raiders won again. It's like, are you kidding me? This team is kicking ass and taking names, and you ain't talking about them till the end? Come on, man. That's why there's as many podcasts as there are right now. Black Hole Banner, shout out to James Arcelana. That's why we got that thing started. And there's a lot of great voices out there in Raider Nation right now. The reason is because there's never been enough coverage for the Raiders. And now there's a Raider Nation radio, a station itself dedicated to the Raiders. Man, embrace it. Embrace the love that you don't get from the national media and just know why. And just enjoy it. Enjoy. Man, I don't mind being an underdog as long as I bark loud and I bite loud or bite hard. Whatever you say. I like it, man. But then again, it's just me, but I kind of feel like that's where we all should be at. Thank you for that call. Definitely appreciate you. And yeah, man, on to New England and a possibility and a chance to go 3-0 on the season. Next up is a text from Paul in the ATL. Hey, Q, Paul in Atlanta here. I'm actually here for the defense. There was a long period of that game where the Saints couldn't do much of anything. Everyone's down on the defense, and it could be better, but let's be honest, here it could be a hell of a lot worse, brother. Again, that's from Paul in Atlanta. And no, you're not wrong. You know, I mean, when the Raiders went into the locker room tied up at 17, I think they all looked at each other and said, look, man, we ain't played a very good game. Defensively, we stunk. If we can get the stop a couple times, we can get the ball back to our offense a couple times, I don't think them cats across the field can stop what we do. And that's what they did. You know, the Raiders ran off 24 straight points. They showed what they could do. And again, if a couple stops come up, the Raiders could win games. That interception was big by Morrow, and a couple stops that they had in the second half gave the Raiders the opportunity to extend that lead. That's all you need. Now, I know why people are down on the defense, including myself, because you want to see better. You don't want to see them being sliced through like they were. I mean, look, that defense was getting carved up, man. It looked like a hot knife through butter for a while. But they found a way to make adjustments, which is all you have to do, and that's all you ask. If they can at some point get really good and play like they played in the second half, but start the game like that, and you're cooking with grease, man. You know, something that I like to say. So, yeah, you bring up a lot of good points there. And I forgot at the end of your text you wrote, Raiders. So I had to go ahead and drop that in there as well. Next up, and I think this will be the last one for the show, is a call from Jordan in Oregon. He's calling to talk about the game, the concern the fan base has with the defense, and also the fact that the Raiders are finishing games now. Here he is, Jordan from Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? It's Jordan in Oregon here. I wanted to call in here on Tuesday and just say, what a game, man. Really excited in the direction the team's going. I know there's a lot of concern still about the defense, which is warranted, but I think that they have so much young talent on that side of the ball that, you know, by midseason form, I could see this defense looking a lot better. Definitely felt like as the game went on, you could see the D-line getting a little more pressure. Definitely not where we want to be, but see Crosby getting close on a couple plays there at the end of the game. And just also wanted to bring up that it's great to see this team finish and not, you know, in the past they've crumbled in an exact game like this. So we've made strides. I'm really excited about the direction of the team. And thanks for all the time you're putting in. And you were spot on, man. I wanted to bring up a couple times this year, I'd say the last couple months in particular, you've said this offense is going to have to kind of get out to a fast start in order for the defense to you know, kind of catch up with how the offense has developed. And you're spot on. I really think that was an accurate take. And props to you and everything you're doing. And hope everything's going well with Raider Nation Radio. Haven't been able to tune in every day, but the times I do, it sounds like you and Scott really got something good brewing there. So, anyway, thanks a lot, Q. Hope you're doing well, man. Peace out.
Jordan, thank you so much for that call, my man. And yes, the defense, like I just mentioned, is a work in progress. It's going to have to be carried along by the offense moving forward for a while until they're able to gel and get on the same page. Something I've been talking about. So this is why this is not a surprise to me what the defense has been doing, because it's something we've been talking about for the longest, like you pointed out. So moving forward, at least, you know, I'm thinking through week five, through week six even, the defense is going to have to be really carried. The heavy lifting is going to be done by the offense, and that's okay. If they can do it, do it. I'm not mad at them. They're the more cohesive unit. They're the more most continuity on their side. So I'm all right with that. But you bring up a great point. I'm glad you did. And I'm really going to finish the show with this. Finishing is huge. Finishing games is huge. More times than not in the past, the Raiders were not finishing drives. They weren't finishing games. They just simply weren't finishing. And now you're seeing them finish those drives. They're getting in the end zone as opposed to kicking field goals. They're finishing games with like a big defensive play like they did in Carolina. That big fourth down stop. That was a finisher. And then Monday night, that big field goal, the big Stones field goal where John Gruden sends Carlson out there for a 54-yarder and drills it. That was a finishing move. You know what I mean? If it was that old school video game where they say, finish them. What was it? Mortal Kombat. Oh, that was a game you were good at, huh, wife? Who'd you play with? Katana. That was the female. Okay. All right. Yeah. The wife said it was Mortal Kombat, and she used to finish him with Katana. That was her weapon. That was her player of choice. Finish him, Katana. So that's what they did. Two games in a row, they found ways to finish. So, Jordan, I think that's a great point right there. Absolutely a great point. Biggest complaint I've had with the Raiders for years, they don't finish games. They would just hold on to wins. Now they're finishing. Again, it's only two games in the season, so I don't want to get over the top, over the moon, overexcited, but it's a good step. It's a good stepping stone. You can see they're headed in the right direction. Thank you so much for that. I still got a text from Yosemite Raider. I got a call from Rob from Salinas. I'll get those on tomorrow's show, I promise. And then I'll get more feedback as well off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And, of course, Twitter as well, at your boy Q254. Tomorrow's show, we'll have more news and notes of the day. It's also be Thursday, so we'll have Crossover Thursday with Mike DeBate, host of Locked On Patriots, as the Patriots are up next on the schedule for the Silver and Black. So we got a lot coming up on Thursday show. Raider Nation, appreciate you. Appreciate the feedback. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Do what you got to do. And most importantly, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.